And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground. Across the southeast U.S. of A, y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes from like Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that lovely little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches. Now, North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. Then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world streaming live online every day, looking inside the studio at what we got going on, even what color shirt I'm wearing. I'm saying, we got pieces like doing it on Rumble, X, YouTube, Facebook, our website, rightsidemedia.org, and then a ton of y'all podcast after the fact and just, you know, catch it then. And listen, bottom line is for wherever you catch the show, thank you. We know you're there. We can see the numbers. We thank you. You're the reason why we do what we do. So that's why I try to say that at least several times a show. Jack from Huntsville checked in, said, I watched an interview with a judge some 20 years ago. He was saying it was his duty to find violators to stupid laws. He said his sworn duty wasn't to change the law as written, just judge the cases before him with the law as it is. He said, if you think a law is stupid, change the law or change the legislators. Wouldn't it be great if legislators did their job and judges did theirs? Yes, and I'm not sure where we're going there. But you're right. I mean, it's a stupid law. And the bottom line is I think it's going to get challenged at some point. Here's what's going to happen. We're talking about the Huntsville City Ordinance, which is a year old. I get it. The Huntsville City Ordinance that allows the Huntsville PD to pull you over as a primary offense, not like secondary to other things, like if you're speeding and they also catch you, you know, doing something with your phone. Not even that. They can just see you drive by well within the speed limit, obeying the rules of the road, not appearing distracted, but your phone is in your hand and you're talking on the phone, that's enough. I realize that what they're looking at more often than not is people who are texting while they're driving or, you know, surfing the internet or doing Facebook while they're driving. I get it. But the reality is that's not what the ordinance says. The ordinance says the phone in your hand. You got to use hands-free, everything. Okay, here's the deal. You get pulled over. Officer, I didn't have my phone in my hand. Sir, I saw you with a phone in your hand. Yeah, officer, that was actually not a phone. That was a 3x5 card that I was handing to my person next to me. That was the biscuit that I was eating for breakfast. That was my Pop-Tart. That was my makeup case because I put my makeup on while I'm driving to work every single day. And that's not against the law, apparently. And then how about this? It's the cup of coffee that I'm holding in my hands, even right now, while I'm talking to you, because I'm not worried about it, because it's not against the law. So I can drink coffee, I can eat food, I can put on makeup, I can dial in my radio, I can do all these things. But they're going to get you on that phone. And then they're going to assume that what they saw was a phone, and you have to prove that it wasn't a phone in your hand at the time.
I don't know if it's, I thought it was Alabama, but I just looked it up, and I stand corrected, but I think there's some states where eating, like even having a sandwich or anything, any item in your hand while driving is illegal.
Are you saying that somewhere?
I thought it was Alabama before, but I just looked it up and I stand corrected. But I did hear that this was a law in some states. I could look it up and see.
I've never heard that, but I'd be fascinated to find out if it's true. Listen, I mean, there's some nanny state stuff going on everywhere. I'll talk more about that when I get to Dipper 3 later. But right now, just your opinions on that ordinance, let me know. I got one texter who I guess for obvious reasons does not want to be identified. Says, I don't want to give my name, but when I worked with some sheriffs in the department in the Alabama dispatch, hang on a second. I don't want to give my name, but when I worked with some sheriff's departments in Alabama, dispatch would always call on the cell phone the closest deputy and explain the situation and then get on the radio and announce, reason being to give the officer a heads up before it went to scanners. So the law needs to be challenged. It's BS. In other words, what she's saying, what this person is saying is that sheriff's deputies are answering their phone in the car because dispatch is the one calling them and then getting it over the scanners, which is interesting, which also means, you know, they're going to have to key the mic and talk on the radio as well. Yeah, it's the whole thing's kind of nuts. All right, let's switch gears. You guys text in. We'll catch up with you as we go through the show. Let me talk about this Corporation for Public Broadcasting situation. So I got a story here that broke over the weekend. I pulled this one directly off of the website of CorporationForPublicBroadcasting.org. It's their official announcement dated Friday. Friday afternoon, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting announced today it will begin an orderly wind down of its operations following the passage of a federal rescissions package and the release of the Senate Appropriations Committee, blah, 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 which excludes funding for the CPB for the first time in more than five decades. What are we talking about? NPR and PBS are both subsidiaries of the parent organization, which is the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which was formed back in, I think, 1967 by act of the legislature. It was formed at a time when it had more purpose than what it is deemed to have now, but at the same time, it was also formed with an intent that it would be bipartisan. And it has become decidedly left-leaning over the last few years. It's a complete mess right now. And the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is literally just lost its mission, if you will. So that being said, and by the way, JP, go ahead and tell our caller. I'll have to get him later if you don't mind. I'm going to have to go forward because I have a caller coming in just a minute. But the Corporation for Public Broadcasting winding down. See, this is one thing that's interesting. We didn't expect this part. So I'm curious, is this them getting mad, taking their ball and going home? Or is this actually they have a need to shut down because they can't afford life anymore? Was it literally that we were carrying them completely? So that being said, they lost their funding in a rescission package, which if you remember, that's the government saying, hey, we spent that money or we appropriated that money, but we're going to claw that back. We're not going to do that after all. And so that once it's been passed by Congress, it takes Congress to undo it. And so they did. $9.4 billion in the rescission package most recently, and they got it done. And that rescission package included public broadcasting. So what we're looking at right now is CPB, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, informed its employees that by the close of this fiscal year, into September, I mean, we're talking 60 days, a small transition team will remain, but the rest of the staff will be laid off. So what does this do for us watching Sesame Street at the local level? Well, the problem's really not been Sesame Street, although I will admit Sesame Street got kind of dicey at times in recent years. Yeah. But right now what we're watching is $1.1 billion in funding was just removed from the public square. NPR, though, says it only receives about 1% of its operating budget from the federal government. The remaining budget comes from all kinds of, like, corporate sponsorships. How many times have you seen it? NPR is brought to you, or heard it, NPR is brought to you by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and so-and-so donors and so-and-so class donors and so-and-so corporation. And people like you, they say that all the time. You see it on PBS too. You watch Sesame Street and there'll be like a little run in between right when the commercials would normally go. They'll tell you how they get their funding. And they'll even ask you at times to do the telethon version. They'll ask you to support public broadcasting. Where they're saying you're going to see the most change is at the grassroots level. So you've got the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. That's the big parent umbrella. Then you had the two subsidiaries, PBS TV and NPR Radio. They are still corporations that don't receive the bulk of their funding from the federal government. However, you're still going to see all of the little stations down below, some of which are very rural and all that, that are going to be challenged. And I got to be honest, y'all, that's the free market. That's the whole build a better mousetrap thing. So I guess my question is, when it comes to your local broadcasters, when it comes to the station in Podunk, Alabama, when it comes to the station in, you know, the backside of Egypt, Tennessee, when it comes to that small rural station that's been broadcasting Sesame Street or Antiques Roadshow or whatever else, or, you know, or the radio station that has a radius of about 30 miles and it gets the message out on NPR's All Things Considered, is that going away? Maybe. It may. But the question is, do the people locally want it? Because if they do, they have an opportunity to support it. Can they support it? I don't know. Then you get into the question of, all right, why are federal tax dollars doing this when states have their own budgets? Well, not every state's got a big budget. Oh, look at what states spend money on. And if it's important, then I will tell you, like Alabama Public Television is going to be looking at making up a gap, hopefully through their state budget, I'm sure. I guarantee you. I'm sure the lobbying has already begun. But this is where the free market kicks in. This is where the better mousetrap is there. This is where the government subsidizing something, as soon as the government pulls its money away, if it collapses, that means A, it was either A, too dependent on the government and never did a thing otherwise, which is part of the problem, or B, it was a lousy product in the first place and it's not supportable once the free market is in play. So all that to say, if these rural stations that you're hearing Democrats scream about right now, if these rural stations are going to survive, it's going to be because the communities actually want them. And then they're going to have to go out and do it like a business. And they're going to have to raise their own funds. They're going to have to do it like Rightside does. They're going to have to raise their own funds, go for their own capital investment, do what they can to develop their own messaging, and they're going to have to grow something that the people of the community, A, want, and B, support. Sell ads on radio. Do all the things. Because, y'all, that's what makes it work. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back from this break, and we'll jump into this a little bit further. I got some text messages coming through, and then, yeah, we will catch up with somebody who knows it really well, my friend Todd Stacey at the top of the hour. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I'm just talking about, wow, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so I'm in this section on public broadcasting. Coming up here in a few minutes, I'll come back from the next break. And a friend of mine, Todd Stacey, will be on with us to talk about it. And he's not just a news guy himself. He owns Alabama Daily News. You can check out their stuff at aldailynews.com. In fact, I think a couple of my stories today have come from them. But the other piece of this is he actually is the host of Capital Journal, which is a Alabama public television show that I've been on several times, and I'm questioning what's going to happen. Because I've got a story. Hang on a second. Let me weed through my stack and see, because some of these articles all say the same thing, I realize. All right. We've got right here a story from 1819 News. Another guy that I know, Alan Mendenhall, a good dude. He's very conservative. He's been on the Alabama Public Television Foundation Board, and the Foundation Board are the ones who make the financial decisions for APTV. So he just recently resigned. This story is dated July 12th, so it's about 3 weeks old. But Mendenhall resigned from the APTV Foundation Board because he said, I support President Trump's rescission package and the rescinding of funding for public television, but given my support, I don't think I can serve in good faith as a fiduciary for the organization. In other words, what he's saying is, and good on him for this, hey, I support defunding what I'm on the board to talk about doing, so how about I step back, because obviously all of y'all probably, I guarantee what was happening was he was openly supportive of it, and the people on the board were like, stop it, you can't do that. And he's like, okay, I'll resign. In his letter of resignation, Mendenhall said the decision stems from philosophical, legal, and policy differences related to the litigation challenging President Donald Trump's executive order directing federal agencies. In other words, he was saying, I'm not a part of that. But then here's a piece of the article that I wanted to bring up, too. According to one Alabama public television executive, if the U.S. Senate approves, which they did, this is right before they did, the rescission package, APT would lose $3 million annually, which is 13% of their budget. That's a chunk. I guarantee it's a chunk. I know it's a chunk. 13%, $3 million. You know what $3 million is for the state budget? If the state legislators want this for their state of Alabama, if they want this for the state of Alabama, $3 million is a nothing burger. I know it's a lot of money to me and you. Oh, JP, the things we could do for Right Side with $3 million.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I mean, $3 million is enough for the state of Alabama to just throw away down the drain. No problem.
We have that in the couch cushions in the state house, I'm pretty sure. It's just laying around. You can find it in like the backside of the stalls in the bathrooms.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. But $3 million, if they want it that bad, they will make up the difference at the local level. It's time for the federal government to pull out. And then you're going to wind up having, you're going to have the knives are going to be out. Well, who gets cut? Wait, I got news. Alabama's in a budget surplus. Now, California, they're not. They're in a budget deficit. And they're freaking out over this. You know why? Because they're big government people out there, and they wanted the messaging of subsidized TV and radio. And they wanted the fact that it blared out a leftist-leaning propaganda piece every third hour. And they're screaming about it. I haven't heard a lot of screaming in Alabama, but I'm not saying that there's not going to be some angst. I myself, like I said, have been on Capital Journal with Todd Stacey, who'll be on in a few minutes. Good show. There's no other place where you can just have that level of sit down, and just, you know, dialogue about a bill that's, you know, before the Senate or something like that. You get some good stuff off of state run media really sounded bad, but upon state level public television. But then the question is going to become, do we keep subsidizing it? Because if you notice, it says in this article, Alabama public television is losing $3 million, which is 13% of its budget. Where's the rest of it come from? Other places. Other places. Foundations, grants, means by which they can raise money. Maybe they have to spend some money on hiring someone to do more deliberative fundraising. Maybe they start, you know, having to sell their ads at a different rate. Maybe they have to cut back their staff. I don't know. But maybe what's going to wind up happening is they're going to start having to run it even more like a business. I'm not saying they haven't made business-like decisions, but most of what they've been able to do has been considered to be quasi-public sector. And there's usually not a true business-like atmosphere in a public sector anything. Just saying. How will it impact your local stations? I got a piece here off of the Hill. I hold it in my calloused former paratrooper hands. Dateline, July 18th. So we're right at, what, 2.5 weeks. It talks about a number of places. Like, how about this one? KUHB in St. Paul, Alaska, located on a small island in the Bering Sea. And KCUK in Shivak, Alaska. Those stations will be forced to close by next summer if CBP shuts down. Okay. Says, without them, that community doesn't have anything, said one official. There's no local TV. There's no local newspaper. Some of them barely have internet still to this day. Again, if the locals really want it, they will have to find a way.
I don't know. I feel like I don't get any alert. Okay, I understand I'm not living in a rural area like those places, but I feel like they all come from my phone. I feel like the iPhone gives alerts like crazy for weather stuff. So I understand some people may not have, you know, iPhones or whatever. I understand that. But I feel like that's just such a like marginal part of the population nowadays. I hate to say it, but it's like, okay, are we going to accommodate for the 4% of, not even that, of people who don't have iPhones or something like that, that strictly get their alerts from radio? It's just like, I don't think that's worth it to throw money, constant money at it.
Well, here's the thing. It goes back to that's Alaska.
Yeah.
All right, does the Alaska legislature want to go, you know what, hey guys, we need that because, you know, Alaska's different. I mean, you got to fly from one place to the next over there. But here, you and I get in a car, we can drive, there ain't no roads. I get it. Okay, so let's say they want really, really, really want that radio station. Alaska needs to do it. Yeah. It doesn't need to come from D.C.
Yeah.
And then you got this one. CPB funding in 2023 accounted for nearly 97% of KUHB's revenue, 97%. Y'all, I mean, I'm looking, and that's all said and done. I got story after story, but then it says this. He says, the more revenue you generate, the safer you are. That doesn't mean you're necessarily completely safe. Well, yeah, that's called business. That's why you generate revenue. But they've not had to up until now. We'll talk to Todd Stacey and get the straight skinny on what he thinks is going to happen. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, all, I mean, talking about all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Meatloaf Monday, because it's always about the food. You know that. Meatloaf Monday. Well, listen, I'm in dipper number one of the day here. I'm talking about public broadcasting. Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the parent organization, the big umbrella, if you will, that had covered down on NPR and PBS all these years, announced on Friday it will shut its doors after the rescission bill passed in D.C., and they lost over $1 billion in funding. What does that mean out at the local level? Do we get to see Sesame Street anymore in Alabama? I don't know. Let's bring on somebody who does know. more about it than I do. Todd Stacey. Todd Stacey and I have known each other for a few years. He's the founder and publisher of Alabama Daily News. You can see them daily on aldailynews.com. But Todd Stacey has a long career, 15 years, I believe, somewhere in politics in D.C. Used to work for Congresswoman Martha Roby. He spent time working in the State House, and he is now running daily AL Daily News. Todd Stacey, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. And by the way, one thing I forgot to mention in my overly long intro was you're also the host of Capital Journal on Alabama Public Television. So there. How about
right.
that?
Right. Yeah, I figured that. You probably want to talk more about that than you do daily news.
Well, it all blends together sometimes, but listen, man, let me get your thoughts on it. Give me the broad brush perspective, first of all. I saw one report that said that APTV, Alabama's public television, could lose up to $3 million in funding. What do you know? What's going to happen?
That's right, and I have to caveat this at the beginning that I may not know as much as a lot of folks do, or others do, that are in the organization. I host Capital Journal. I manage the news side of things, and that's my job. I try to stick to that. I don't get into budget discussions. It's not really appropriate, you know, for me to. But I mean, it's just been so public, and I've talked with folks, and I can do my best. Obviously, with the rescissions package, yes, that will in the end results in about $3 million over 2 years from Alabama Public Television. And the way that works is Congress allocates funding to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and that is like the pass-through entity. That's the entity that gives grants to everybody else, from NPR to PBS and all of the more than 100 local public media stations. So that's our cut. And that's, you know, that's about 13% of the overall budget, which is nobody would do well with that. So yeah, it's a concern. I mean, talking with our executive director, Wayne Reed, he comes from the commercial side. You know, there's just a lot of uncertainty. They're going to have to do things differently. That maybe some silver linings there in terms of some more local programming, some more state focused programming. You know, maybe there are some decisions to make about, you know, some of the programming coming down from national. I mean, we, you know, have quietly had complaints for years about NPR is the true. I mean, they've just gone off the rails.
Yeah.
But PBS too, in many ways, especially on the news side, NewsHour and Washington Week. Washington Week is pretty egregious. So you know, one thing I didn't know is that Jack Williams, who you also served with,
right,
who works for APT, he's been making that case to NPR, to CPB, to PBS, like, hey, y'all are killing us. Y'all's insistence on adhering to this far left ideology and just doing nothing but attack Trump all day, you're killing us, because eventually this is going to come home to roost, and it has.
Well, I think it definitely did. I mean, and they finally wore out their welcome to the point that they were no longer welcome. So, all right, 13% of the budget, that's a huge whack. I mean, I can see where that had been painful on day one. But let me ask you this. First of all, does APTV, to your knowledge, do they also receive funding through private donations and other things, kind of like the Corporation for Public Broadcasting did? Do they receive their funding through any state resources? I don't even recall from my days in the legislature if APTV is in the budget, but I seem to recall that they are. What's your recollection on that? That's what I thought. Okay.
It is. It's both. So now, in, you know, Alabama Public Television, just like a lot of smallish state public broadcasting, doesn't get nearly the percentage in, you know, private contributions from viewers like you that, you know, stations in New York or Boston or, you know, huge markets and everything like that. So yes, it is in the ETF. It's in the Education Trust Fund. That's because a big part of what APT does is education-based. As a matter of fact, before I came on as host of Capital Journal, I didn't know how much went on the education space. So all that's in the Education Trust Fund. But now there are, you know, you could see that change over time. Maybe there are more, maybe it's a more general fund thing. But as you know, the general fund has traditionally just not had the same flexibility. So yeah, there's a lot, Adam. It's there, you know, every year, and we work hard to justify that and make it stretch, which I think we're going to have to this time.
Well, so what do you think, man? Are we going to lose Sesame Street in Alabama? Are we going to see programming continue? Is APTV going away? What's your thought on that?
No, not at all. Goodness, I don't know what would happen if the complaints would mount up. But that goes back to what I kind of briefly mentioned about programming decisions. So part of that $3 million I mentioned, a lot of that ends up going back to PBS. It's kind of this weird system that I've recently learned about that. So APT has to turn around and pay PBS for certain programs.
Wow.
And so if some of that goes away, you know,
yeah,
then maybe we'll be in a different spot. And Sesame Street has its own program for which you pay. So I'm absolutely sure whether it's Sesame Street or Daniel Tiger and all the other education-based, whether it's state or national, those are incredibly popular, and you won't see anything like that happen. But no, ABC is not going anywhere. And a lot of people don't know that Alabama Public Television is the first public television that was ever started in this country. It preceded PBS by more than 15 years. So it's been around and going to continue to.
Well, and I suspect that's true. You know, I made the point earlier before you came on that, one of the Crimea River stories that I pulled off the hill was how small radio stations, in this case radio, NPR-based radio stations, like in the Bering Sea area in Alaska, are the only thing they say that some people even have. And okay, well, I get it, but what's going to wind up happening is, in a federalist sense, so to speak, if the states want this to remain, then the states will find a way to make up the difference, and or the private sector will jump in and say, we got to support the local station. That's going to wind up having to be sort of the build a better mousetrap version of running a business than being subsidized by the federal government. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, and I think like for something like PBS, I've not seen any reporting, but I would be surprised if they didn't have just a huge influx of donations from their base. And I also suspect there's kind of audience capture going on, just like everywhere else. Everybody does it to a certain extent. But, like, let's just say that PBS had changed their tune, had said, okay, you know what, we're just going to be fair and stop this, you know, this left-leaning tendency. Well, then that would have really irritated a lot of their audience, right?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy to it. So I don't think you're going to see that be a problem at the that's the kind of the interesting thing about it is the target is NPR and the target is PBS, and yet they're going to be fine because they have just an enormous fundraising base. What the unanticipated target was, stations like APT. That's okay. It's going to happen. There are talks about treating those entities differently. I think there was a lot of interest in doing that this time because a lot of lawmakers there on the Hill, we heard from all the time, we love APT. We like our local and state folks that are fair and just do it right. We don't like NPR and PBS, but unfortunately, the way the funding work was so intertwined, there wasn't enough time to figure it out. That doesn't mean that they won't try to do something like that in the future. They're just going to have to figure out a different pass-through mechanism because that was the role that CPB served.
Well, and I think it's interesting. I mean, we're watching CPB close its doors. They say they're winding down, like within the next 60 days. I mean, this is going to be like they're shutting down pretty quick by all rights. You can look at Trump sort of dismantling the Department of Education, and yet it's going down, clawing and scratching and filing suits and everything else. CPB seems to have read the handwriting on the wall and decided that their charter is over, and they're just going to go ahead and call her done. And then NPR and PBS will be, I guess, set free to do what they do and to survive the way every other business survives. I think it's going to be interesting to watch. I think it's also probably time. I know at the same time there's going to be some pain. I will say this, $3 million, that's the loss to APT. You and I both know there's that much in the couch cushions in the State House. They can find $3 million if they wanted to make up the difference at the local level.
Well, yeah, and again, I don't really get into that. It's not really appropriate for me to.
Sure.
We do our job, and I'm very proud of what we do at Capital Journal. At that, I'm completely confident that we don't have any kind of bias. I mean, you know me well enough to know that just the fact that I'm the host is pretty telling of the idea that it's not going to be left-leaning. We're just trying to tell the truth, and, you know, there is no really statewide news focus on the legislature and on Congress and things like that. So it is filling a need, but it also comes with a – and that would be tough to do from a commercial side. I'm not sure you could get the kind of ad revenue. That's why the program's been along like it has. And so we're just going to keep doing that. The questions about funding, that's, you know, over my head. But we've been having a lot of success at Capital Journal with growth, doing interesting things, getting around the state. We're about to go back to the Business Council Conference this weekend. So that's what we're focused on, just doing a good job telling the truth and really just helping tell Alabama's story. And we got a lot of good feedback, you know, from the legislature. That's our job, and that's what I'm going to be focused on.
Well, listen, we'll keep posted, and if anything new happens, we'll holler back at you and see if you can give us a straight skinny on it. But for right now, Todd Stacey, founder and publisher of the Alabama Daily News at aldailynews.com. We appreciate your time, man.
You bet.
All right, take care. All right, you guys, listen, we're going to take a break. We're going to come right back. I saw some breaking news a moment ago on the screens here in the studio that I'll be telling you about in case you hadn't already seen it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.